Tight ends left and right. Brunell with two receivers. First and 10 at the 30 of the Bills. There's the snap, the handoff. Natron wants to cut it up, waits patiently, breaks a tackle. He's at the 30. Natron, 25, 20. He's gone. He's at the 10, the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Holy smokes, talk about putting it in your face. My goodness.
Archuleta coming again. Byron turns and dumps the ball. He's caught on the run. There goes Maurice Jones. He's got a first down and more. He's at the 20. He's at the 15. 10, 5. Touchdown, Maurice Drew. Touchdown, Jaguars. 49 yards.
He said he was going to have a dance the next time he scored.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Mark Long.
All right, here we go. Jaguars Today live at the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here at Everbank Field. I do believe that Natron Means' call is Fortunato's personal favorite among all the ones we use for the open for the show.
Who was that? Who's on the call?
That was Brian Sexton.
Well, who's the
Matt Robinson on the call.
Thanks. I know who the play-by-play guy is.
Just because we got a new one coming in.
I meant the color
He's
guy.
He's been here for most of the games. In fact, all of them.
No, talk about putting it in your face.
I think that's probably the part that brings a twinkle to Fortunato.
Of course.
Something like that. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Back from vacation?
Nice vacation. Didn't get a whole lot of golf in, but that's okay.
Did you get some sun?
Not really.
Anywhere?
I went to visit family. Okay. Sat around, did a whole lot of nothing. You know, it was nice, relaxing. My house stood up to it. Didn't get anything broken in. What did you do? Some yard work for the first time?
I did some housework.
Oh, housework.
Like outside.
Like dishes?
No, like siding.
Okay, you did some manly stuff. Some siding. Your hands are all torn up. That's what you're showing me right now. Maybe we can get
yours look pretty manicured.
I look,
you look like you've been on the beach somewhere.
That's a golf blood blister.
Okay,
right there
one blister from golf.
Yeah, the rest of them are pretty baby soft right now, so I gotta admit.
You look like a guy who doesn't work on his house.
You hire people to work on your house. I have a concrete block house. We don't have siding.
Oh,
right?
That's good.
I mow my own lawn.
Oh, you do?
I do. I don't do
you
it
have
as
a day
often
of the
as
week
I need
that,
to.
You have a certain day of the week you mow it?
I usually go
barring
for like
rain.
A weekend day.
Okay.
Yeah, like a Saturday.
Early in the morning before football starts?
No, I like to sleep. So, I like to go, Saturday around noonish. I know it's not the best time of day to do it, but that's in between that.
UV index is 35.
You sleep till 11. You kind of you got to wake up a little. You mow
sleep
the lawn.
Sleep till 11.
Mow the lawn, take a shower, get in a quick 2-hour nap, and then I usually do a show on Sirius on Saturday nights.
What
that's
world do you live in that you get to sleep till 11?
That's my weekend.
That's
brother.
What
do you mean? You can sleep any
I cannot
as
sleep.
As you want.
No. No, I have a 2-year-old daughter, and she if I'm not up when she's up, she comes and gets me.
Yeah, I have a 10-year-old. Right,
okay.
Who can get up and turn that PlayStation on all by himself? He does a good job.
All right,
with
so there's
it.
Hope.
Yeah, that, right. There, you'll get through
hope.
That window.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be PlayStation for your little girl, but maybe it will be. I don't know. We'll find out. It's training camp time.
Yay!
Are you excited? You get to talk to pretty much everyone that's ever worked for the Jaguar organization today.
I mean, talk about overload. Unbelievable overload today. We're going to get Gus Bradley. Dave Caldwell, Shad Khan, Mark Lamping, bunch of players.
Not on the show, by the way.
No. You know, I'm just saying, like
the Jags are
making everybody available today. They're having player availability, coach availability, and then they're doing a kind of a state of the franchise luncheon today where Shad Khan and everybody's going to be available. So full day, and we haven't even started training.
Get your pre-training camp sound bites.
Oh my gosh!
And all that stuff.
Nobody could use as many sound bites as we're going to get today.
No, there'll be a lot. Well, you can archive them and use them later.
Sure.
Quotes and stuff.
Sure.
You file that away for a later story.
But like now, it's like for like this show, you're going to get now, tomorrow. You know that stuff's old news because now you got on field stuff.
We like old news. We like moving out to the on. We'll be out there. Tony and I will be out there tomorrow.
Yes, we will.
We'll be
Tony
pulling
and I
you
would
off
have,
the field.
That's fine. Tony and I would have taken old news 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Why do you think I went on vacation?
I know you left us in the dog days.
Hey, look, I made
you
it.
Left us solo in the dog
I
days
made
of
it
summer.
Deep into July for me.
You did
without taking hardly any time off this year, Tony. So. I had my own share of dog days, but All-Star Week in Major League Baseball is especially
it's
good
pretty
week
slow.
Well, listen, imagine if we didn't have World Cup.
Oh,
what
I know.
It
made the summer go quicker.
Sure.
It did. That so, 5 weeks, it made it a little bit shorter.
Now we all know more about the beautiful game. It's a great thing.
You're still not watching.
It's
did you,
over.
Did you watch? I know, but did you watch the did you watch the championship game?
No. I don't have any interest. I mean, it's fine. I'm not mocking anybody who wanted to watch the championship game, but apparently Messi was exhausted, from what I hear. He was wiped out. He was, you know, all that scoring that takes a toll on you.
So, all those missed
those
shots.
Those three or four goals that he scored. Oh, my goodness.
And you get a golden boot for scoring five goals.
I know. I thought we used to give out the golden boot in college, but it was for something else.
Could you drink out of the golden boot?
You could if you chose to. But usually it had to do with vomiting, actually. Golden boot. Ace Sanders did his best to put a little bit of a damper on this week. I mean, it's been really the offseason, considering they're a 6-win team over two seasons. This has been as positive an offseason as you'll find. And I know there's a lot of that in the National Football League, that this is our year. But it really had been nothing but positivity. Tony and I talked earlier in the week about how, you know, all you're hoping for is no news over the past month.
Sure.
Because no news is good news around this time. On-field impact, big deal, not a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal. We'll see. I mean, I think it hinges on how good and how quickly up to speed the Jags can get Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson. I mean, that to me is the big deal. I don't think he had 55 catches last year, was a very productive receiver, especially for a rookie. Who was kind of thrown in the mix in place of Justin Blackmon. Very productive, but, you know, he wasn't a scary weapon. He wasn't a threat, you felt like, out there. And he did pretty much nothing as a punt returner. So from that standpoint, I think the one thing we were looking forward to is seeing him in a reduced role as a receiver and maybe a more of an impact on special teams. And now, of course, you're not really going to see any, at least for the first four games, and who knows beyond that.
Yeah. One of the guys that you'll hear a lot about today in stories that you write and others write, Chad Henney's going to be one of the players made available. Our Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day asks this, and we phrased it this way for a specific reason. What do you think Chad Henney's record will be as starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year? So you got to calculate how many games he's going to play, obviously. And then it's already curious to me. I've seen some people suggest he's not going to play that many games, but he's actually going to do okay record-wise. For instance,
but that makes no sense,
right? If you're like a 4-4 quarterback and you're Chad Henney, 4-4 is a big uptick.
Sure.
Winning percentage.
You're not going to bench Chad Henney at 4-4.
No, I don't think so.
So
not as we pointed out, four of the first six games on the road. So I don't think you're going to bench him in but that doesn't matter.
But if they're 4-4 and the defense is great, and say Chad Henne at 4-4, he's thrown six touchdowns and eight interceptions, so it's really the defense is carrying him at that point. If you feel like Blake is ready, do you pull the trigger if you're the Jazz?
There's no absolute that says 4-4 he can't be benched. But
that's essentially the situation the Giants were in with Eli Manning, is something exactly like that. They were in playoff contention, better than they were the year before. It was Kurt Warner, not Chad Henne.
Right.
But essentially the numbers weren't there, but the team was performing pretty well, and they still made the decision to go with Eli because he was the future.
Well, if they feel like at some point Blake gives them a better chance to win. So 4-4, I guess, doesn't protect you across the board, but I'd be surprised if they get four wins in the first half of the season. If they get four wins in the first half of the season, we know in today's NFL they'll be in wild card contention, although we're right in the thick of things. So, if that's the case, I don't see anything happening. But, weigh in with your responses to that. You can tweet at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, as you should be following all the time, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. You're going to hang around for the next 25 minutes or so, go catch up with some guys, and then maybe report back towards the end of the show if we have a little window for that on some of what's being said. So we'll get into that today. And let's talk about that today. Chad Henne is your starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. What are your expectations for him as a Jaguar quarterback, Jag fans out there, record-wise, performance-wise? The bar is not incredibly high for him to have his best season ever. Does he have the weapons that he needs in place to take him to that kind of a season. Also, Dave Caldwell on with the guys on the drill this morning. You'll hear that conversation coming up a little bit later on as well. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you live at Edinburgh Bank Field. Back with more of Jaguars Today straight ahead on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Stand up!
This is ludicrous.
Yep.
Get back. Does that mean the Jags are back? Or does it mean it's ludicrous that Justin Blackmon just got popped for marijuana?
You know, you can go either way.
Why am I going for that?
You can go either way.
You know what? I would have been... I think she should have used a wrapper, a marijuana-laced wrapper, like somebody who's...
We'll get Snoop Dogg next.
Some Snoop Dogg would have been nice.
Snoop Dogg said he smoked at the White House.
Snoop Dogg.
You don't think Luda's on the weed?
Oh, well, hey, listen, I don't want to make any presumptions about anyone.
Luda.
Listen, Snoop is open and honest about it, at least.
That's true.
So...
There
that's
you
how
have it.
You should be if, you know.
People have just caught a snippet of what I'm saying who are not aware. Thanks for the Twitter heads up from several out there. In Oklahoma, Dateline Edmond, Oklahoma, former Oklahoma State football player Justin Blackmon was arrested for the possession of marijuana Wednesday night in Edmond last night. According to Edmond police, Blackmon was stopped for a traffic violation at such and such intersection. Officers could smell an odor of marijuana coming from inside the car. After a search, they found marijuana. Blackmon was taken into custody, issued a citation for a traffic violation. Police did not say how much marijuana was discovered in the vehicle. And it goes into his backstory of run-ins with the law up until this point in time. So that just came down in the last 5 minutes.
Eventually, we'll find out how much marijuana, too. They'll put that in the police report at some point. So that'll tell us a little bit whether this is a smidge or smuggler's cove.
It's an indication, whatever amount it is. I don't think he's a trafficker. That's not my sense.
No,
so,
listen, you don't know.
I don't know. I mean, Nate Newton had, what did he have, 300 pounds of it in his car?
Something like that.
At one point,
yeah.
300 or 900. Some ridiculous amount of
it was obviously
marijuana.
An intent to sell.
I don't believe that was for personal use.
No, if it was Snoop Dogg,
then
you might go, he might be able to get off.
I'm just bringing this to Luda. It's his stuff.
Luda!
But it's an indication that, you know, he's still not doing the right things out there. We didn't suspect necessarily that he was because it's like, all communication with the team seems to have ceased with Justin Blackmon. But, look, it's not like you were counting on the guy this year. Or if you were, you were living in some fantasy world, that he was going to come in and at some point be reinstated. The Jags weren't counting on him. You shouldn't have been counting on him. It just, you know, for one more indication that you may never be able to count on this guy.
Yeah, I think, we were talking about in the break. At what point, where is the final straw for the Jags? Is this it? You know, do you keep him around for another arrest for him to embarrass you again before you, at some point, trouble trumps talent?
It does, but you got to decide what that point is. Should this arrest embarrass the Jaguars? I don't think it should.
It shouldn't, because they've said all along, listen, we've lost contact with him. We don't expect anything from him. But the reality is, he's still a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Right.
He's still on your roster, even though he's on the suspended list. It's still the first two words of every story is Jacksonville Jaguars.
Except in Oklahoma. A former Oklahoma State football player.
No,
I got you.
But for the most part, you know, he's still tied to the Jags. And if they had cut him, you would see, you'd see places where it's former or ex-NFL player or whatever it is, former first-round pick, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know that there's a huge level of embarrassment there, but I think there is, you're still tied to him. He's still your guy. They're going
to
stand up there today, Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, Shad Khan, and they're going to be asked questions, and they're going to have to talk about this and Justin Blackmon. Whereas if you wiped your hands of him, then he's not your problem. And
wish him the best. Right.
Yeah, and you've moved on. We've moved on, and you can say we've moved on. Right now, they can't say they've moved on.
Yeah, you're right. And look, it's clearly a case of if he were a less talented player, I don't think they would be at this point. That's why yesterday we had Gus Bradley on. We said, look, you've got Ace Sanders. He's had obviously multiple violations of the substance abuse policy, because you don't get suspended for your first violation. You get put into a more stringent testing program. So, you know, is his roster spot safe when he returns? And Gus basically indicated, yeah, he'll be back with us, you know, in week five of the season, assuming he takes care of all his business between now and then. But, you know, had this been Kerry Taylor, going further down the depth chart, how far down the depth chart do you have to go where you have these issues and you say, well, it's, you know, it's just not worth it. It's kind of, I think, what Tony Dungy was alluding to ham-handedly with Michael Sam, saying that his talent is not worthy of the distractions that I think he'll bring to my football team.
Right.
As a reason why I wouldn't bring him
the
in.
The further down the depth chart you go, the less chance there is for a second chance. You don't put up with anything if it's an undrafted rookie.
Tony and I were talking about earlier in the week a little bit about the Houston Texans have already released 2 third-round picks from last year.
Yep.
One of them, because of a medical issue, he had microfracture surgery, and I guess they don't think he's going to get back to full health. The other one, Sam Montgomery, got caught
smoking dope
on a road trip, right?
Yeah.
And they whacked him during the season.
October.
And now he's kind of floating around, so that just goes to show you, you know, Sam Montgomery was Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think that violation of team rules would have him off the team.
Right.
So.
Well, agreed. And I don't know, you know, and listen, there's been a lot of talk about Ace being upfront and honest and open and whatnot. You know, first off, he wasn't all that honest and open because he never said to us Tuesday night what it was for. He said he's facing a 4-game suspension, but he didn't say it was for, you know, it was for substance abuse policy.
Right, but it is, I mean, it's come out that it's for the substance abuse policy.
Right.
And it put it this way. Like, guys who get popped for performance-enhancing drugs, apparently everyone in the NFL's on Adderall, okay?
Right.
They all claim it's always Adderall because no one in the NFL could possibly be on human growth hormone or anything.
Right. Of course not.
You know, I know that. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Look, he's the one who put himself in that situation, but there are different ways you can handle it, and at least he took responsibility.
But so did Justin. Let's listen, and I'm not trying to say Ace is Justin. I'm just saying let's not believe just because Ace came out and was a little bit open about it. Let's not believe that he's going to be able to lick this with some counseling. You know, who knows? I don't know. Justin lied to us time and time again, telling us, you know, it's not a problem, this, that, and the other, and that he'd be back.
But that's the difference to me. Justin Blackman felt like he didn't have a problem. Like, hey, this is just kind of whether it was denial, you know, we didn't know, for that matter, whether he had a problem or not. Ace Sanders could have gone that route. It was a bad decision on my part. But he said, no, I need some help with an issue. So I think people feel like there's a better chance for him to come through the other side because he realizes it's a little more serious. And maybe, you know what, maybe, to be cynical, maybe he's playing the game. Maybe he's saying smart thing to say.
Or maybe he does indeed realize that this is a reality check and that he's at a crossroads and
hope
he knows
it's
that. And he knows, listen, they're not invested in Ace Sanders like they are in Justin Blackman, the team.
Oh, of course not.
And so he doesn't have the rope that Justin Blackman has.
That's why it was a question to me at all with Gus Bradley yesterday, is his spot safe when he comes back? You know? And so, you know, with Justin up until this point, it's still, there's no, other than, like you talked about, the having your name, your franchise name associated with this guy when a new story pops up.
And having to answer questions time and time again.
And having to worry, when is the next story going to pop up? Other than that, which does not, you're not paying the guy. He's not costing you. You still have him under your control if he ever does get his act straight and return to football for a couple more years under a rookie contract that's very favorable to you. So the conditions which allowed you to keep him on the roster up until now still exist. But eventually, you've got to say enough is enough. Based on a lot of reaction we're getting immediately on Twitter from Jaguar fans, they feel like this will or should be the straw that proverbially breaks the camel's back.
I think it should be. I we talked in the break. I think this should be it. I think at this point, you know, you've lost contact with him. You've kept him around. But now you have tangible evidence that nothing has changed.
Is it a case of it should be because of the further embarrassment that he brings to the franchise? Or this is, to you, the last indication that this guy's just not going to change, that we're wasting our time here?
Well, yeah, we're wasting our time, and he's not, listen, let's really be honest here. Okay, he's a good player, not a great player. He's a talented receiver, not a game changer. I think he's got some ability.
Potentially the most talented guy on this roster, though, if you're on this. Oh, come on. I mean, he's had a 200-yard, 220-yard receiving game.
All right.
He's only played, you can disagree with it if you want to.
I will tell you that the thought inside the building is he's a number two receiver in the NFL.
Okay.
Okay. And this is the actual words from inside the building.
Sure.
Good, not great.
I can see that. He's not a breakaway speed guy like a Julio Jones, something like that. But he's certainly.
He's not AJ Green. He's not Julio Jones. He's not Josh Gordon. He's not, from a ability standpoint.
But you look at this roster.
Well,
a healthy Justin Blackmon right now, I think would have to be proven to not be the best wide receiver available to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it's still a case of relative talent compared to everybody else, and he's certainly a guy, if he didn't have any issues, any team in the National Football League would be happy to have his talent, whether it be as their number one or whatever.
Right.
So he's still capable of contributing and playing, I think, at a high level in the National Football League. Here's the question, and it's such a hypothetical, you could never know this, but if you could know that a year from now, he'll come out the other side and he'll have no problems going forward. Would you put up with anything else that would happen over the next year?
Sure. I think you do that. I think you do that for a lot of guys in this league, not just him.
So it's not a case then of just the short. It's got to be a combination of the embarrassment level is reaching an all-time high, and you're finally, maybe it's dawning on you that it's not going to come out all right on the back end.
Right. I think that's what it is. I think we're probably overestimating the embarrassment issue. I don't think Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell go home thinking about Justin Blackmon.
I don't think
they spend a lot of time thinking about him. I think these coaches are geared and programmed to, if a guy's, off a team like that, they're moving on. And they don't have the time and ability really to focus on that. Especially when they can't help him. They can't really reach out to him and whatnot. But I do say this, I think it's going to be frustrating for them today that here's today is supposed to be this story that, today was supposed to be about the scoreboards, the state of the franchise, the optimism surrounding this team, not so much maybe in wins and losses, but certainly more optimism than we've seen the last 2 years and, things moving in the right direction. And then now it's certainly going to be about Justin Blackmon.
To a point. I mean, what is there to really say, though?
Well, the questions will be asked to Gus and to Dave for sure is this the last straw, just
right,
like we're talking about? And whatever they say, and maybe even to Shad Khan, are you done with him? Are you over him? Are you ready to get him, to move on?
I would think they've had these conversations, don't you, to some degree?
Maybe they said the next one is the last
maybe
one.
Maybe they have, or maybe they're planning on a kind of a case-by-case basis, or maybe, at this point it's kind of foolish to believe, well, it couldn't happen again, because it's happened, on a few different levels as many times as it has in a brief career. So that's the latest. Justin Blackmon getting popped last night in Oklahoma for a traffic violation, and I wonder about this too. I read this. Sometimes you see in the story a smell of burnt marijuana, right? They said the odor of marijuana. Marijuana, you can smell it, and it, not necessarily lit, but if you really are in his situation, you're riding around smoking it in your car. I mean, just, you want to talk about the lack of common sense.
Yeah.
Being staggering. All right. Yeah. Go catch up with a bunch of Jags. We're going to catch up here in a couple of minutes with Zane Beatles. He's going to join Tony and I here in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios. Jaguars Today continues in a moment live on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, everything you need to know about your Jacksonville Jaguars. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Mark Long's chasing down the hierarchy of the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot of folks from Shad Khan through the coaching staff, front office, a number of the key players being made available to the media today. You'll hear a lot about that, see lots of stories on TV, hear them on the radio, and read them in print as well. But right now, we're going to hear from one of the newest members of the Jacksonville Jaguars this offseason, the guy that they targeted in free agency to upgrade this offensive line. Zane Beatles joins us once again. You were one of the first guests we had on Jaguars today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing fantastic. Like you. Well, I'm ready. I shouldn't assume like you. I'm ready for training camp to start. What's it like as a veteran player? Do you kind of load the beginning of training camp, but at the same time, you're happy to get back to football? What is the thought process right now?
As a veteran, you kind of know what to expect when you go into training camp, which is always nice. It makes it a little bit, I wouldn't say easier, but just easier to deal with, the grind of training camp. Obviously, being on a new team, every team does things different, so there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for me as far as how things are structured and how the day goes about. But I'm excited to get back to football and start my first training camp here in Jacksonville and see where we can take this thing in the next few weeks.
Tell us a little bit about OTAs and your experience up to this point with the coaching staff, getting to know your new teammates. What's this summer been like for you?
It's been awesome. First of all, just coming in and learning the offense, that was number one priority. You can't do anything if you're out there thinking too much on the field. So that was a big thing for me. Other than that, getting around the guys and the coaches, this really is a special place and I'm excited to be here. The coaching staff is awesome, extremely high energy, extremely positive, all about getting better every single day. And the guys have been great. Everybody comes in and just wants to work and get better every single day. And it makes it a lot of fun to come into work each day.
A lot of young faces on that offensive line, too, and you're kind of the veteran coming in of the group. What has it been like for you during this first offseason with them? Are they coming to you with questions, trying to figure out exactly, what it means to be a pro in this league?
It is crazy at 27 years old that I'm the oldest guy in that room. but it's been a lot of fun, and that was a big deal for me coming here and the front office telling me that they wanted me to take over that role, and I've been excited about that. The guys have been great. It's really been a mutual thing. Obviously, me being a new guy too, there's things that I don't quite understand with the offense that I can ask them and then vice versa. They're asking me things that you really get through experience and hopefully my experience will kind of bring them along faster than what would normally happen. That's the goal anyway, so we'll see what happens.
Really, this offensive line, for the Jags' perspective, is completely new across the board, potentially a rookie starting at right guard. Pastor just really going into his first full season as a right tackle, a new center in Mike Brewster. You and Luke Jokel are often grouped as a pair, and people say, all right, the left side should be pretty good. The question marks start from the center over. We haven't seen a lot of Luke Jokel on the field. Now, you've seen him this summer. We saw him more at right tackle last year. What have you seen from this guy?
He has all the tools. There's no doubt about it. He's a great athlete, physically strong, can run. He's a smart guy. He understands football, sometimes that's things that can't be taught to people. So he's got all the tools. Obviously doesn't have all the experience, only been able to play four games and some change last year or whatever it was. But I'm excited to get to work with him and hopefully he's back full speed now and he's taking all the reps and we can really get comfortable together.
Are you excited about the aspect of this offensive line? Like Mike said, a lot of the pieces coming together this year for the first time. Are you excited about the aspect of, building something here in Jacksonville, especially on that offensive line, because no one's really sure how it's going to look yet? Is that something you're looking forward to this year?
Yeah, absolutely. Offensive line play is obviously extremely important, but it's the one position on the field where all five of us have to be working together. So I'm excited to get to work together and throw on the pads finally and see where we can take this thing and it takes time to really get comfortable with each other, but I'm excited for that process.
And in your experience in the league, how long does it take for an offensive line potentially to get gelled together?
It can be as quick or as slow as you want it to be. I think we have smart guys that come in and want to get better and want to work, so that's going to help us out to make it even faster, a faster transition and get rid of some of those growing pains. We'll see what happens, but I think we can do a lot of work in one training camp. I've seen a lot of good things happen in that short period of time.
Jaguar left guard Zane Beatles here with us on Jaguars Today. It's unfair, really, to compare any quarterback to the guy you had played with last year and Peyton Manning. People talk about quarterbacks making things easier on the offensive line. In regards to Chad Henne, just seeing the work you've done with him this one-off season. What does he do well that you think your team's going to be able to capitalize on offensively?
I think he just has a great presence on the field. You know, he has a good presence in the huddle. He's calm. He knows what's going on. You know, he's very good at projecting that onto the other guys on the field. I think he has a good grip of the offense here, and I think he's excited, you know, being in the same place for a couple years now and really getting comfortable with the same system 2 years in a row. And it's going to be exciting thing for us. You know, it's the offense here is totally different than the offense I came from. So, you know, like I said, there's a learning curve for me too, but, things are looking good on the field.
How would you characterize this offense? I mean, we've had Jed Fish tell us, you know, ideally it's going to be like a 58-42 run pass split. I don't know if you get into that, but just if someone were to ask you, what is the Jags offense? What would you say?
I'd say we're a high tempo, explosive offense, with some playmakers on the field. We're going to try to take advantage of the talent that we have and the people that we have on the field and really use what they do well to our advantage. You always have a goal going into season, what you want it to look like, but you never know what's going to happen until you actually get out there on the field. So, with those two things, you know, I think, That is a good characterization of our offense.
The tempo you guys practice with is pretty impressive, but in actuality, is it just as important the tempo that you get to the line of scrimmage? Because I guess a big part of it is just trying to keep the defense from substituting. You don't necessarily have to snap the ball quickly as long as you're in position to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, getting on the ball fast and forcing the defense to get lined up and kind of show you what they're going to be in for that particular play is a huge advantage for us. Hopefully we can use the heat and the humidity down here to our advantage as well and run fast and hopefully tire some defenses out and use that to our advantage.
Do you want to run block or pass block? Which do you prefer doing?
Whatever's going to score us the most points.
All right. And I know Toby Gerhart, the new guy in the backfield as well. You guys haven't put the pads on, so you don't get a real sense of what kind of player he's going to be on the field. But do you like the idea of having more of that bruising back behind you, that opportunity to pound these opponents?
I'm excited about it. You know, when you have a guy like Toby who, he doesn't shy away from contact and he's a beast out there. It puts some, fear and some hesitation into a defense and to have that presence on the field is definitely a good thing for an offense. And I'm excited to see, how he does when we put on the pads.
Zane Beatles here with us on Jaguars today. You mentioned, wearing teams down, taking advantage of the heat. How did you adjust to it coming here to Florida from Denver?
It was a little rough in the beginning. First day of OTAs, I was hurting pretty bad out there. But as OTAs went on, I got better with it and I took a little break here, or took a little trip during the break here, but I've been back for about 10 days now trying to get back used to the humidity again. So I'm ready to go. You know, it's different than what I've experienced, but it is what it is and try to make the most of it.
He and Red Bryan have something in common there. I don't think Red had any
like
humidity.
We still talked. Puzz Leslie's been here for 4 or 5 years, whatever now, and he's still like, man, that heat. Like every time he goes on in, it still bothers
him.
Yeah,
I've heard I'm not going to get used to it.
No, you don't. You just sweat. That's pretty much what you do. You walk outside and sweat. I know big news yesterday in National Football League circles, too, with Pat Bowlen stepping aside with the Denver Broncos. Obviously, you spent the early part of your career there. What was your relationship like with him?
I didn't know Pat very well. He's kind of been, for the last few years, taking a step back and letting some other people do some more things in the organization. But the thing I will say is his leadership and what he did for that organization and for the NFL is evident all over the city of Denver. You never hear anybody say bad things about what he has done for that city, for that organization, and for the league as a whole. I have the utmost respect for him and wish him and his family the best in this tough time.
If you were to describe, you know, what a championship organization is characterized by, other than talented players, obviously you have to have them. What was it about the Broncos that kept them at a pretty high caliber and competitive year in, year out?
I think one of the big things is doing things the right way. I think Mr. Bowlen has a quote somewhere out there that says something about, you can't do the wrong things the right way. And that's a huge thing for any organization, anybody that wants to be successful, you know, you got to put in the work and you got to go through the process to be good. And, you know, on top of that, you just develop that winning culture. You know, it's real easy if you're losing a lot of ball games to fall into a losing is acceptable type of mindset. And, if you want to get to it, I know where we want to get here. You can't have that mindset and you got to have that winning culture and a little bit of that swagger in the locker room. And when you get on the field, that's just, you know, it's a feeling that you can't really describe it necessarily, but you know, it's there.
And for you, look, back to training camp tomorrow. Everything really starts rolling tomorrow for you guys. But 4 days without the pads again, how much are you looking forward to next Wednesday when you could put those things on and smack somebody?
It's going to be good. You know, it's been a long time. It's a long off season, and that first day in pads is always exciting. You know, guys are flying around, and it's back to real football. And, you know, like I said, I'm excited to see once we get the pads on how we, as an offense and as an offensive front, how we really come together and what we can do during this training camp.
Yeah, I'm curious to talk to you after a few weeks of going against the defensive line as well, because we feel, you know, on paper, talked with Gus about this yesterday, has a chance to be one of the best units on the football team, which you haven't been in Jacksonville very long. It's been a long time since that's been the case, particularly with the pass rush. How much can you tell without having been in the pads up until now?
It's tough. You know, you can tell certain little things here or there, but getting the pads on is really the big test and what's really going to tell you how things are going to go the rest of the year. But I'm excited about that D front also. You know, I'm not excited to go up against those guys during training camp. You know, it's going to be tough, but, you know, it's going to make us better in the end. But I'm excited to have those guys on our side when the bullets really start flying.
I follow you on Twitter, at Zane Beatles, and I saw it was last week or a couple weeks ago you were up in Denver for an event for your foundation, the Zane Beatles Parade Foundation. I know you have a chapter up there. Is there something coming to Jacksonville where you're going to expand that?
Yeah, absolutely. We're in the process of right now of finding some things around the Jacksonville area to support. We're planning our first event in October around the Miami Dolphins game. So all that stuff will be coming up. We'll be getting the word out as best as we can for all that kind of stuff. But there's definitely plans to be moving stuff here to Jacksonville and get involved in the community here.
And what does the foundation do?
We strive to assist young people going through life-changing medical experiences. You know, we work a lot with pediatric cancer. We do some work with some brain and spinal injuries at a hospital there in Denver. Looking to do the same thing out here. But, you know, the idea is to get kids away from their everyday lives while they're going through treatments. You know, the same thing over and over every day, and they're going through this tough time, to be able to get them away for 2-3 hours, whatever it is, and just have some fun and enjoy themselves and get away from that while they're going through treatment.
Sounds like a great organization, great cause. You just were nice enough to sign a couple Jag hard hats for the J Fund, which does some similar type stuff with that. So we're happy to support you. Just let us know if you've got anything coming up that we can get the word out for you. Final thought before we let you go and you get down to the real business of playing football again. Gus Bradley, how much did you know about him prior to visiting here? And can you believe he's that high energy? He doesn't really fall off.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know much personally about him before I signed here, but I did as much homework as I could, asking people that I knew around the league, a couple guys that were here in Jacksonville, you know, relying on my agent and things that he knew, it's been better than advertised. Gus is an amazing person. He's an amazing coach, and I'm really excited to get to work with him. The environment he builds here is special, and it makes a lot of fun to come in every day.
Hopefully that environment produces a bunch of W's this year. That's the bottom line. Now, Zane, we wish you the best of luck. Thanks for your time today. When Zane came in, I said, trust me, no Justin Blackman questions. He just said thank you. And not your issue, brother. We appreciate you stopping by. Look forward to seeing you out there on the field tomorrow and the rest of training camp.
All right, thank you, guys.
There you go. Zane Beatles here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with more Jaguars today, straight ahead on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
You know you love it. This date in football history, brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Tony, what a blockbuster day in NFL history.
Oh!
this one was 1984, I believe, was the year that Terry Bradshaw announced he would be retiring from the National Football League, not returning to play in the 1984 season. Terry Bradshaw, obviously a Hall of Famer, but maligned as maybe being a guy who gets more credit for the Super Bowls than he should. He was an NFL MVP in 78 of the league, and then was a two-time Super Bowl MVP out of the four appearances he made with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But the stat I think a lot of people point to is the 212 touchdowns versus 210 interceptions, and saying that's not Hall of Fame caliber. I have a hard time. Look, I understand on the pure numbers of it, even in that era, that's not a great ratio to have. Terry Bradshaw passes the litmus test to me of, is he a Hall of Famer? Yes. The answer is yes. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Is Joe Namath worthy on his numbers of being in the Hall of Fame? No. But is Joe Namath a Hall of Famer? To me, obviously he's already in, but if you're asking in the should he, shouldn't he be, the answer is yes, in my opinion.
Because it's not all numbers.
It's like, not.
There
it's
is
impact
something
on
to,
the game.
Yeah, it is impact on the game, and Terry Bradshaw is a name that should be remembered in the history of the National Football League. He was the quarterback on a dynasty run for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He simply was.
He won four Super Bowls,
right.
and again, was the MVP in two of those games.
Right. And Joe Namath is the same thing. His stats don't say that he should be in the Hall of Fame, but his impact on the league says he should.
I think his impact on the league is bigger than Bradshaw's impact on the league. Bradshaw's impact as a player is bigger than Namath's impact as a player by several degrees, I think. But regardless, Terry Bradshaw announced on this date that he wouldn't be returning. Also, on this date, back in 1965, Brian Blades, one of the many Blades brothers to play in the NFL, was born back in 1965. Do you remember his two brothers, who they were? The Miami Hurricane triumvirate.
Benny
Blades, right? And his other brother was Al.
Al Blades.
And you remember HB?
What happened there?
Remember HB Blades? The Washington Redskin linebacker in recent years? He was the nephew of Brian. I don't know which one of those guys' sons he is. I didn't remember this, however. I guess blocked this out of my Blades memory bank. Brian Blades, whose birthday is today, was charged with murder in the second degree for the death of his cousin, Charles Blades Jr. He initially pled no contest, later changed his plea to not guilty. He claimed that the pistol accidentally discharged around into his cousin while he struggled with him. A jury convicted him of manslaughter, but the judge overturned the verdict within 72 hours, saying it just didn't. They were not looking at the evidence because there was not enough evidence there for a conviction.
Holy cow!
Here's the thing. All right, accidents happen. I find it so the circumstances that would have to be present to put me in a struggle, a physical struggle with a member of my family. Well, one of us is holding a loaded gun. Right? I mean, the gun doesn't accidentally go off if you're not having a physical altercation while one of you is holding the loaded gun. And I presume that Brian was holding it because the bullet, when it came out, hit his cousin and was thus pointed at Charles. Just, I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. So if I ever full-on murder you, I'm going to argue that the gun went off accidentally. And I hope I get the same judge that Brian Blades did. So
right.
That's what happened among the things. This date in football history, it's presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway, and they are a certified Invisalign provider. They've got the Stop Snoring mouth guards, which they can barely keep in stock. They're so popular. If you've got a spouse, or maybe it's yourself and you're trying to do your family a solid and you're just having an issue with snoring, give Dr. McCall's office a call at 620-9225. There may be a simple solution for you. 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. Now, Jags start training camp tomorrow. One of the great traditions of training camp, was it training camp with Hacker? When a Hacker would allegedly, at the stroke of midnight, walk outside of his house and yell, "It has begun."
It was free agency for
sure. Was
it
free agency? Maybe it was free agency.
Because that's officially the start of the league calendar.
See, if it was a great tradition, I would know for sure.
I know it's free
what
agency.
The tradition was. But one of the other great traditions is when Fan Cam serves up that chili breakfast on the first day of training camp, and he joins us here on Jaguars Today for the first time. What's up, Fan Cam? How are you?
Doing great. Good morning, guys. Hope
Good morning.
You guys are doing well.
We're doing fantastic. What's on the menu for tomorrow?
Well, I'm staring at about 50 pounds of sizzling sausage and beef that's all been stir-fried in Cabernet and bacon and is ready to be served tomorrow morning to Jaguars fans for breakfast.
Count me in.
Yeah,
certainly. Tony and I are going to be broadcasting out there tomorrow. Have you done every single training camp up to this point? Have you missed any?
No, we've done the first day of training camp. Once or twice we did a Saturday morning rather than a first day or something for a specific reason. But, yeah, we've done this is 19 years here, and the first year they went to Stevens Point to try to evade the heat and actually caught a heat wave. And we were down here in my yard eating chili as they started practice that year and decided, you know, we got to do that, serve it to everybody every year. So, yeah, this will be year number 20.
Always delicious, always, like I said, always kind of marks the start of training camp. I know a lot of folks are growing out. In fact, I saw walking in today, there were about 20 assorted Jaguar fans seeking autographs. They had the hibachi set up outside, Tony. Mm-hmm. It was all good to go. But Fan Cam is the master of the chili slow cook. I'll look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
You guys in the morning.
Yeah, you're going to have the full contingent with you this year, all your buds out there with you.
Yeah, being the 20th, we'll probably be serving about 150, 200 bowls of chili, and everybody's excited. It was great to see when you got a couple studs on the board like Clowney and Watkins to have the conviction to go with the quarterback receiver package, I think, has stirred a lot of enthusiasm up in this town, and we're ready to rock. So we'll see you in the morning for some chili.
Sounds good, brother. We'll see you out there. There he goes, Fan Cam, who, by the way, has that nickname because he has a modified, I think it's more like a construction helmet with a camera on top that he goes to Jag games with and takes things in through the third eye.
Do it.
So to speak, Tony. So yeah, I'll look forward to a little bit of a chili breakfast. By the way, yesterday we got tweets immediately after mentioning that if you wanted to go to the practice at Bartram Trail, you needed to go to jaguars.com/RSVP.
Yep.
People were saying it's not showing Bartram Trail. Well, in the midst of the beginning of the show yesterday, and by the time we started really talking about it, the last few spots had filled up. They are limiting it to 2,500. People have asked me, why are they doing that? I assume it's a space issue, although people have said more than that go to Bartram Trail games. I don't know. All I can tell you is there are 2,500 free tickets available, and they were gone.
Yeah.
So if you miss the boat, you can show
up. Sorry
you
missed out on Bartram Trail. But
I don't think they're gonna let you in without one.
You can still go to the website. They're asking fans who want to come out for training camp practices to do the same thing, so you can register there for that. And I think they're doing the same thing for the scrimmage. That's going to be at the stadium a week from Saturday.
Right. I would imagine unlimited capacity at the scrimmage.
Yeah. They just want to have some idea of how many people they need to be ready for.
They're trying to track you.
Yeah.
Okay. And next year, the microchips will be instituted. That's next year, though. Don't worry. You'll think back to the glory days of all I had to do was go to the website.
Right.
See? Could be much worse. They could be doing some invasive bodily procedure on you in order to let you in. Or they could be like Daniel Snyder. Does he still charge $10 to park at training camp?
I don't know.
I know he did that to some backlash a number of years ago. Hey, it's a capitalist society, but for now, everything is free and easy breezy with the Jags. We'll see out on the 9:55, I guess, they get underway tomorrow.
Yes, they do.
Right as we go on the air. That's kind of the time we do the thing we call crosstalk.
Yes, it is.
That's when Jaguars Today will debut tomorrow live from training camp. We're looking forward to it. As many as are open to the public, Tony and I will be out there. Of course, Tony, if it gets a little rainy, we may have the option to take it indoors.
Well, there's always the option.
I'm just saying. So, news of the day, if you missed it, report out in Oklahoma today that Justin Blackmon was arrested last night following a traffic stop as an officer found an odor of marijuana emanating from his vehicle. A search revealed an unknown quantity of said cannabis, and Justin Blackmon getting popped. And so, have you seen any of the reaction yet on Twitter? I'm sure this is coming up as Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell and others are being made available to the larger contingent of Jaguar media this morning. What has been some of the reaction you've seen from that?
From the Blackmon deal?
Just any of that. Yeah, Blackmon deal included.
Well, Gus is speaking right now as we talk to one another, and Gus said on the Blackmon situation that it's difficult because they don't really have an opportunity to talk to Blackmon at this point in time, but they're praying that he gets things figured out and starts going in the right direction, and that the conversations about having to cut ties with Blackmon are going to heat up, that they're going to have to readdress that and figure out what their position is going to be on Blackman moving forward. Interesting that Dakota Watson, who's going to start the training camp on the PUP list with the Jags, Gus said today during the press conference he's actually had two surgeries for that injured groin. Not just the one that we heard about in June, but there was one before that, too, when they were signing him in free agency.
That actually makes me happier, because you find these guys have a nagging situation, and you always wonder, why did they wait so long to have it addressed? So at least in this case, it doesn't seem that, like that was the case.
No, he also said that with all the injuries they had, especially a wide receiver going through the offseason, that they're going to try to split up the reps a little bit more between these guys to not overwork them during the first week or so of training camp so that they can hopefully keep these guys healthy. But basically that means they're going to split up the reps between the 1s, 2s, and 3s a little bit more than we're used to seeing in training camp.
Yeah, more questions on Tandon Doss today than they probably ever expected to have in the entire time Tandon Doss was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, he's now going to be the main look at punt returner.
Although it was reported, and I forget, so many of these guys are tweeting from there. We're not trying to exclude who may have said it. I just can't remember that Marquise Lee will get a look there as well, along with Will Blackman.
It certainly was dynamic doing it.
Yeah, so
at USC.
You know, and look, it's happened in the NFL. Steve Smith for years was the primary punt returner and the number one wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers.
DeSean Jackson did it for Philadelphia.
It happens. You know, you say, well, do you want to risk that guy on special teams? Well, it depends on how, you know, if they're just giving you, you know, kind of like a league average performance, then probably not. But if, you know, they break a couple and they've got that potential to break a long one every time it goes back there. This team needs
if
offense.
If he's good at punt returning, I get it, but I've never fully understood that idea, because if he's good at punt returning, if he's the best option you have doing that, then put him out on the field and let him do it.
Right.
You're going to put him on the field when you're playing offense. He's risking injury there, too.
Right.
I don't get it.
Well, I guess the feeling is in the return game, you don't get injured on every return, but sometimes you get some more devastating injuries because you get guys running down there at full speed.
I guess,
what have you. Regardless. Today, talking about Chad Henne, and we'll get back to him a little bit later on in the program. The Tom Bush Family Dealership's question of the day asks, what will Chad Henne's be? What will his record be as a starting quarterback for the Jags this year? So you got to calculate how many games you think he's going to play and how many games he'll win in that time period. Share your thoughts with us at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren, and of course on the Facebook page, facebook.com/Jaguars Today. Got a chance to win a Jags Today t-shirt. Coming up next, you'll hear the drills conversation with General Manager Dave Caldwell. That's straight ahead. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, earlier today, Jaguar General Manager Dave Caldwell appeared on The Drill with Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser. Of course, this was prior to the news of Justin Blackman's arrest coming out. I think even at the time, Dave Caldwell, based on the reaction, Tony, we saw in the hallways immediately after the news broke.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Nobody knew.
No.
Until Twitter broke the news.
We were, it was 10:10 or whatever, and we stepped aside, and I was like, look at this. And then all of a sudden, the whole building behind us started buzzing.
Zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one caught him by surprise as well. So that, if you're wondering why Dave Caldwell is not addressing this in the interview, nobody knew about it at the time. So, and I don't even know why I'm bringing this up. Stop calling Lauren to tell her that Justin Blackman got arrested, because clearly I'm speaking to people who are not listening to the station, who don't know that we are
aware.
They're
sitting in their cubicle at work. Someone walks in and goes, hey, Blackman got arrested. Oh, I got a call 1010. Yeah.
We generally feel like, it's a helpful thing for you to just say, and people are pointing out the story on Twitter, but that's the thing. Like an hour after the fact, the fact that we're broadcasting from inside the stadium and Twitter is not broken today, we appreciate it, but we're aware of all that. Here's Dave Caldwell with the boys from The Drill on 1010XL.
Talk to Dave Caldwell.
Let's do that.
Southern Oak Insurance Coverage Hotline, the general manager of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Like
Dave, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, man. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Dave, the roster is continuing in progress. Changeover continues. I think you have added, according to the Times Union, 40 players since they last played. Just give me a little state of the roster address to start things off. How do you feel about it, the moves that you made during the offseason, and where you are right now with this football team?
Well, we have 90 guys on the roster right now, and we feel good about it. You know, I was just working out this morning, and I was thinking about we're going to have some very difficult decisions to make here as we get through training camp. Mm-hmm. And some of the players that have been here for, you know, a year, a couple of years, and some of the new players are going to have some great battles to make this team, and that's a good thing for the city of Jacksonville and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And that kind of is the goal, right, Dave? You want to have difficult decisions every year as long as you're trending the right way. I mean,
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a good sign of it is when, you know, when we let a player go and then he goes on and has success somewhere else.
I remember talking to you last November about quarterbacks, and you're a firm believer in not rushing a guy along. So, couple things. Let's talk a little bit about Blake real quick. How much should we expect to see him in the preseason games?
Well, starting off, I'm a firm believer in taking every situation differently.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of there are certain players that are ready to go and ready to go right away, and then there are certain players that are going to need some seasoning. And we just felt through this whole process that Blake was going to be one of those players that is going to need some seasoning in terms of just getting ready for the pro game, pro style offense. He's a player that's only been in college for 4 years, came out early. Unlike some of the quarterbacks that have had success, have been in college for 5 years and have played in pro-style systems. Mm-hmm. So instead of setting him up for failure, we figure that Chad Henne gives us the best opportunity to be successful this year. And, you know, Blake has a great opportunity to get better on a daily basis.
How tough is that, Dave? And what does it say about the confidence you have in your ownership group that you don't try and rush it, right? That you don't have the security to take a guy that you feel strongly about at number three, and even if that means he doesn't play for a year. You know, I around the league, there seems to be this impetus to get guys that can play right now.
Yeah, I think that's probably pushed from people that probably aren't within organizations and talking to a lot of people in organizations. I think when you make an investment into a high draft pick, you want him here for 10, 12 years. When we took Luke Joeckel last year, this is a player that we said, you know, we can build around. He can be a pillar of our organization for 12 years. And our vision from the beginning, from the time I got hired, from the time that Chad Khan took over this team, was to build a sustainable winner. And we weren't in it for a quick fix. We weren't in it for a one-year success and then regression. This is something that we wanted to be able to sustain over a period of time. And if it takes sacrificing Blake some experience early on in his career, to make sure that he has a great career for 12, 14 years, then I think that's the best move for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Visiting with Dave Caldwell, general manager of the Jaguars. Do we expect to see him play a lot in the preseason and in those games?
Yeah, I would expect to see him get him some good reps. Mm-hmm. Chad will be the starters and run with the ones most of the time. And then as we get later in that fourth preseason game, you could probably expect to see a lot of reps out of Blake.
Dave, if you're a Jaguar fan, you get a little bit nervous about the passing game. I mean, obviously Justin Blackmon is out there in the Netherlands right now as you wait on some sort of conclusion. We know what happened with Ace, and you've got two rookies. Where's your confidence in the personnel and them stepping up with what you have here on the roster?
Well, receiver is going to be one of those positions where it's going to be a tough battle to make this team, and we've brought in two rookies that we drafted. There's another handful of rookies that we feel have a really good chance of making this team that probably warranted to be drafted, but were not. And we were fortunate enough to get him on this team. We have Cecil Shorts, who is a very good player at this level. And, you know, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee are healthy. They're back and they're ready to go. And so there's your top three right there. And that's a pretty good top three with Cecil, Marquise, and Allen. And then we got guys like Mike Brown, Allen Hurns, Damian Copeland. Those guys are going to battle for, you know, those fourth and fifth spots.
What do you expect, Dave, out of your defense this year? You guys made some free agent moves. You brought in some veterans. I see it as a much improved defense. What are your thoughts about the defense overall?
Well, I hope you're right on that. I do feel like that we will be improved, and a lot of it is going to depend on how our offense does, too. If we can sustain drives and keep plays alive and continue to hold on to the ball, that's just going to help our defense, too. There were spurts where our defense played very well last year, and it was hard for them because it was – Three and out on the offense. If you remember the Indianapolis game, they were playing some really good football, and it's just we weren't able to get sustainable mm-hmm. drives on offense to help them. And no matter how good your defense is in this league, they're eventually going to break if they're going to continue to be put on the field.
What are your expectations, as best you can tell us, Dave, that for improvement that you see, whether that it's by a win total number or by some other measurement?
I think for us, it's about being competitive. It's about, you know, 80% of games in the NFL come down to a touchdown. And if we can be in 80% of our games and within a touchdown, we either ahead or behind, well, we have a chance to win those games, and that's what we're looking for. And eventually, we're going to win a lot of those games that were close. So we got to learn how to play competitive football and learn how to close games out. But in order to do that, you have to be close. And I think you're going to see the margin of victory, the margin of defeat, a lot closer.
There seems to be a lot of optimism around the league and within the walls of Toby Gerhart. What did you like about him when you targeted him early on in free agency? What are the intangibles that he brings that you like so much about him as your lead running back?
Well, obviously off the field, he's a pro. He's competitive. He's extremely intelligent. He's a grinder. He's a workhorse. He can take as much as you want to give him. So from that aspect, we are really impressed with him as a person. Secondly, with running backs, you know, you look at career production, you look at guys that are productive in high school, college, whenever they touch the ball in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and Toby's always been productive. You know, regardless if he's had 3 carries a game or 40 carries a game in college, he's a guy that's always, you know, been able to produce, and that's a key component for running back position.
I'll go ahead, Dave, and ask you a question I'm sure you'll be asked to address at some point of training camp for setting the table for the year. Any update on Justin's situation, or is it still, you know, just kind of hands off until you hear from him or the league?
Yeah, very hands off until we hear from both he and the league, and I would not expect much this year.
You took a shot at Alex Mack. That didn't work out. You feel good with Mike Brewster at center battling and winning that job. What do you like about Brewster?
Yeah, and even when we were going through that process and talking to Brew after it, there was no indication of Brew, and we always felt that we could play Brew at right guard if we needed to.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more a fact of this is a guy that was a perennial Pro Bowler, and he was on the all-pro team. And to add a caliber of player to your team like that, regardless of the position and regardless of who you have there, he's one of the top centers in the league. So we just felt like it was a good opportunity for us to get better along the offensive line, and it had nothing to do with Brew. Brew is more than capable to come in and be the starter here, and he'll have some battles with guys like Jock McClendon and Luke Bowenko, too, to solidify that center spot.
Do you think there could be a starter on your team for the opener in September that's not on your roster right now?
I think probably not. Probably mm-hmm. not. Not at this juncture. There could be some players that we collect off the waiver wire at the cutdown date that will come in and maybe be, you know, some role type of players, but a solidified starter. Unless something went very wrong,
I don't see
that happening.
And that's an indication of the way that the roster has improved over the last year, because if I think back to last year, right around cut day, and the trying to figure out who was going to stay and who was going to go, and then the changes even after that, it's a different year, and you feel that's one indication of how much better you feel about your roster now.
Yeah, we feel better about it. And, you know, last year it was tough on our coaches, and we made, 17 waiver claims in the first couple of weeks. And we claimed Clay Harbor, and the following week he was starting for us. And Stephen Burton, we claimed him, and he was starting for us. And so we had those situations last year. But hopefully we don't have those situations this year.
I know we got a long way till September, Dave, and these next month will be as important to you guys as any month, maybe all year. But did you guys tick somebody off at the schedule makers? I mean, 3 of the first 4 on the road, 3 of the first 4 against playoff teams from a year ago. This is going to be a football team that over the next month better be ready, right, in the first week of September.
Yeah, trust me, they heard my complaint, too. So.
Good for you. Yeah, good for you.
But that's 2 years in a row that they put us on the road. And I want to say maybe 6 of our first 8 games on the road. That's not how you want to do it. But, you know, our situation here is, and we preach it to our players, Coach Bradley, is we'll play anywhere, anytime, any place. And whether it's on the road or it's at home, we're going to give our best effort.
And apparently you will play anywhere, anytime, any place.
Yeah. Ask London.
Hey, Dave, we appreciate it. Great stuff. And look forward to the season. I know Jack fans are amped up and ready to roll. And I expect some big turnouts for the next few weeks as we get ready for the 2014 campaign. Should be fun.
You guys going to come to the big concert?
Oh, yeah.
what a great deal that is. That's just another example, too. And also, already we see the turnout expected in St. John's County, which has proved to be a savvy move to kind of you know, almost make it a neighborhood watch, right?
Well, yeah, it's great to branch out to St. John's County. They're an integral part of this, but these boards here and what Shad Khan and Mark Lamping have done to this stadium, Gus and I were just, we pulled pictures out yesterday of the old scoreboards and the old look of the stadium, and we're out there last night and checking it out. It's truly amazing. We went from college ball to Disney World here. It's truly spectacular, and it's just, you know, we're fortunate to be a part of it, both Gus and I.
And I think the fans are too, and I think they're, listen, I mean, it's unheard of to me. We've been saying this for a couple weeks around here. This thing, Saturday night, it's free to season ticket holders.
Yeah.
It's free.
And I think Shad and Mark both really appreciate the support that the season ticket holders give us, and this unveiling of the scoreboards, it's going to be special. It's going to, I've heard a few things of what's going to go on, and, I'm truly going to step out of my office a little bit to go see it.
Well, I'll tell you this too. When this football team day becomes 11-3 in November, for a town that nationally gets unfairly criticized for its passion, I mean, they're going to be falling out of the top row of the stadium. So yeah. you can look forward to that.
And I think we're changing that. I think the city of Jacksonville's changing that, mm-hmm. and the fans here. And I think we're starting to be recognized. We've had a lot in the last year or so, some national media members come down to Jacksonville for a preseason game or games. And they said, you know what? I think I've been wrong about Jacksonville. It is a passionate town, and there is good support here. And so hopefully we can just continue to build on it. And eventually the product on the field is going to match the product that Shad's putting into the stadium.
Appreciate the time, Dave. Thanks so much.
Thanks, you guys.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Jags General Manager Dave Caldwell.
There he was earlier this morning on the drill. That was about 3 hours ago, and obviously bears repeating. No questions about Justin Blackmon. That news had not broken, news of Justin Blackmon being arrested on possession of marijuana last night in the state of Oklahoma. According to Twitter, Tony, I haven't seen the actual police report. Right. I did a quick search, haven't seen it myself, but according to Twitter, in the police report, the officers complimented him on his honesty in the traffic stop, and apparently, at least according to Tom Pelissero, in Minnesota, covers the National Football League, said that Blackmon admitted, according to the report, to the officer that he was smoking a blunt in the car, which, again, just goes to the height of stupidity. That never mind. I mean, anybody, you know, look, go where you're going and do what you're going to do, legal or otherwise, and you can decrease your jeopardy significantly than when they pull you over and that smoke from that blunt comes wafting out the window.
Sure.
I'm thinking.
Well, no, and that's been kind of the history with Justin Blackmon. I mean, when he gets arrested or when he has these run-ins, he's very honest about whatever he's done.
Yeah.
He will let you know.
You know what I was doing 3 days ago? I'll tell you that too.
Right. I mean, that's kind of what Justin Blackmon has been.
A for honesty.
For the very small minority of fans here in Jacksonville that were holding out hope going into today that maybe Justin Blackmon would be back on the field for them at some point in 2014 or, I don't know, ever. Look, it's done. For those people who thought that he
window
was,
is
right. For those
slammed.
People who thought, well, his time away, he's got to be getting better. While the rest of us were going, if he was getting better, somebody would be saying something.
Right.
About
so
Justin
someone would
Blackmon.
Know where he is, for goodness right. sakes, or would be talking to him.
And instead, we get the story that we got today. It's done.
You know, in all honesty, you know, much like the Ace Sanders thing, I think once camp starts, I mean, Justin Blackmon was already out of sight, out of mind. If this was a case where he was
sure.
on the roster and this happened on the eve of training camp and all of a sudden now you're wondering what his availability. We knew what his availability was to this team. It was zero, at least as far as 2014 was concerned. Folks, you, the Jaguar fans listening, we know that you are the foundation of this organization. And like the most important investment you have, your house, it's only as good as a strong foundation. Foundation professionals of Florida certainly know that. They want to give you the peace of mind that your home is safe. What could be more important for your most important investment? They'll work with your insurance company, and financing is available. If you have problems with your foundation, you need to know the symptoms. Interior or exterior wall cracks, windows and doors sticking, foundation cracks, sloping floors, all these things and more can be indicators of a problem with your home's foundation. Check out our friends, FoundationProsFL.com. That's Foundation Professionals of Florida. Call them at 287- 287-2690 and get the peace of mind that your most important investment, your home, is safe from the ground up with a strong foundation. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Coming back, we'll get our question of the day. Chad Henne's record as a starting quarterback for the Jags this year. We'll get into some of your responses to that next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Back on the field tomorrow, your Jacksonville Jaguars, 9:55 in the AM. They'll be wrapping up the first practice right around this time.
They will.
I just saw the ozone walking by, Tony.
Yeah.
Must be a slow news period. The ozone.
There's nothing going on.
Banging
in this
out
building.
A story.
Did he have his aviators on?
Right now. Did he have his what on?
Aviators.
He did not have his aviators
what?
On.
No.
But he did have the sleeves of his t-shirt rolled up to expose his biceps.
Yes.
Suns out, guns out.
Yep. I saw your tweet yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Suns out, the guns
He started
out.
It. He put that in the ozone.
Suns out, guns out.
I ran with it.
You'll see him tomorrow.
I wonder if the guns will be out tomorrow.
It'll be someone's birthday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Whose birthday?
I don't know. We'll have to look. This date in football history will tell us.
My uncle's birthday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Is your uncle's birthday tomorrow?
Yeah. Poor guy. Now he gets kind of drowned out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He shares a birthday with Lauren
Brooks,
24 years old tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know. You're not supposed to tell a woman's age.
I know.
But 24.
Now you've told everyone.
Not a big deal. Come on.
Cry myself to sleep tonight.
That's
in
right.
a year, you get the car insurance reduction.
Which is also nice.
And you can rent a car.
I thought it was 25.
Yeah, 25.
Yeah, when you turn 20.
Oh, you're saying I thought you were saying I'm turning 24.
Yeah, turning
tomorrow.
24, so in a year.
Oh, in a year, right.
Yeah, you can get the reduced car insurance.
It's been so long since all that happened, I don't even remember now.
A little slow on the uptick this morning, Ms. Brooks. All right, today.
I just got hypnotized, that's why.
The Tom Bush Family Dealership's fan feedback question of the day asked you, what will Chad Henne's record as a starting quarterback be? Now, we were getting a nice steady stream of the tweets in, Tony, until the Justin Blackman news came out, and people were
Grr.
Like, I don't even want to answer anymore. Now I'm just angry. So among the responses we did get, give us an idea.
Here's what we got. From Duval Doom, we got hashtag Henne given Sunday will YOLO his way to 9-7, and Duval will be unbearable next offseason. Hashtag angst. Hashtag Jeff
See, what, is, I don't understand. Is he saying that he'll do enough that it'll be unbearable because what the debate will be Henne versus Bortles?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
Yes. I think essentially that's what
so
he's
it,
trying to
is
argue
Duval there. Doom trying to tell me he doesn't want them to win 9 games this season? How can I interpret that?
I think Duval Doom is the most glass half full with the Jaguar guy we
oh,
got.
Oh, in terms of the predictions today, 9-7 is definitely glass half full.
9-7's at the top end.
Wouldn't you want to go on a 9-7 season this year? Don't you want, wouldn't the greatest, as we brought up yesterday with Johnny O, the greatest hypothetical would be if Henne leads into 12-4 in a first round playoff victory or some, you know,
sure.
crazy nonsense like that, maybe a bye, and, wouldn't you love to have a true quarterback controversy on your hand based on the merit of Chad Henne's play in 2014?
It'd be nice.
I would.
And as we pointed out, that would be almost the exact situation that San Francisco was in.
Exactly.
Just a couple of years ago with Alex Smith, and they wanted to get Kaepernick on the field, and they had to manufacture ways to do it.
They had to hit Alex Smith in the head.
But wait.
Allow him to be hit.
Can you use YOLO as a verb?
Sure you can.
You
can do anything if you put like ing on the end of it. Right?
All right.
Put ly and it's an adverb. It's
true.
YOLO-ly is what that he did. What else?
We got from at Jag fan Josh 7-9. He will make some good progress and finish the season. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Tony loves Michael Bay. Hashtag training camp. I do despise Michael Bay. From Brock, my heart is telling me 9-7, but if I'm being honest with myself, 6-10. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag anything is possible.
Anything. I like it.
That's pretty good.
Who is that from?
That's from Brock.
Brock might have just got himself a t-shirt with that.
From at Irish Jaguar, Stevie says 4-6. Hashtag Jaguars today. Kept it simple. Jason. 4-4, and at the conclusion of the 8th game, pass tipped at the line for a pick 6 game ender. Hashtag bring on Bortles. Hashtag playoff run. Hashtag Jaguars today. from Tony Agolini. I like Henny. I'll preface his record by saying it won't be his fault, but the O-line is bad. 2-9 and BB5 takes over.
I'd like to thank Zane Beatles for joining us on the show today.
From Tommy, 8-8. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag needs a backup t-shirt. Tommy's already won with us. From Sean, 4-3, and then it's time for the B2 Bomber to step in, and we'll be ready to go. Hashtag Bortles Combat. Hashtag Jaguars today. Hashtag Shut Up Randy.
Gotta love that. Shut Up Randy. And we're not going to explain them anymore unless, I don't know, maybe we'll have one day where we explain all the hashtags again at some point. But if you follow along, you can play the hashtag game with us.
They can always go back and listen to the podcast version.
This is true. They're archived here at Jaguars.com, so you can do that. Duval Doom with a follow-up. I'd love to go 9-7, but if they did, hashtag Henny Given Sunday, all caps, still ain't the answer, but we'd have to listen to the hashtag Jagwires. Why? Well, I mean, if they went 9-7 with Henny, wouldn't you have to reconsider whether or not he is at least a decent answer? I'm not saying he's the answer as, and I know what he's saying. He's saying he's not the answer that all of a sudden he's going to be for the next 5 years in a week quarterback. It generally doesn't happen that way in the National Football League, right?
No, it doesn't.
You get the Rich Gannon story occasionally, but that's really few and far between.
I'll go back to the discussion we had at the top of the show when we brought this up when Mark Long was in here with us. It depends on how they get to that point. It's not all on the quarterback here. Like, if the Jaguars are depending on Chad Henne to make things happen and they go 9-7, then yeah. If the Jaguars are a team that takes a big step forward on defense, they run the ball very effectively. Chad Henne's a guy that if he plays 16 games, throws, you know, 18 touchdowns and 15 interceptions, then I have no problem with them moving on from Chad Henne if that's how they get to 9-7 and they feel like Blake is a better player at that position.
Right.
But if he carries the team, then the discussion would be a happy one to have when everything is said.
Keep in mind, we were looking earlier in the week. Peter King did a little chart with some of the top quarterbacks in the league and how they compared in different categories, including touchdown percentage and percentage of throws resulting in a TD.
Sure.
Same thing with interceptions. Chad Henne isn't too terrible on the interception percentage last year. He was 2.8. Which was a career low for him in terms of efficiency as far as that goes. And that compares favorably to guys such as like Eli Manning at a 3.4. Roethlisberger was at 2.8. Flacco was at 2.5. So Henny was in there. Breeze is at 2.6. You can throw picks. The difference is all those guys threw a lot more touchdowns, and their percentage of that was double or better generally than that of Chad Henne. Now, understanding, I'm not saying it's all Chad Henne's fault. He had the weapons he had to work with last year. Ace Sanders was pressed into, you know, extended duty on the outside, which was not what you were expecting this year. You hope, even though they're rookies, these guys need to get in here quickly and make an impact for this football team. More Dakota Watson stuff being tweeted out today, just reading back through some of the reports. Ryan O'Halloran, Brent Martineau, and others reporting from the various press conferences that have been taking place this morning. That Gus initially was really worried about this surgery because he had already had the one that you mentioned, Tony. But initially they were told might not be ready for the start of the regular season. Now there's some reason based on his rehab for hope that he may be ready prior to the season starting. So could be ready for the opener, which, you know, that's definitely, I think, one of the key battles you're going to watch. I think there are a lot of positions that are mostly settled.
Uh-huh.
You got one spot on the offensive line. Other than that, it's kind of the pecking order. I think we know who the top three receivers will end up being this year, the two rookies and Cecil Shorts. You know, in which order would you rank them? Well, that'll work itself out. But that linebacker group as a whole, Geno Hayes has got to be healthy this preseason. Dakota Watson's got to get back to health. You've got one guy in the middle that you can count on, and you've got a lot of question marks surrounding them right now.
Sure, and you got the question at safety as well, and what exactly is the order going to be at cornerback for this team? Alan Ball is going to be on the PUP list to start training camp as well.
I think, although all of us who watch the offseason, I think we feel pretty good about Winston Guy
sure.
You know, taking that spot. There may be a competition there, but to me, I don't think it's that much of a competition. I think it's his spot to lose, in my mind.
That's the way it feels. And especially with Evans not being able to be here for the start of training camp, he's still, they don't know how much he's going to miss as far as camp goes, but he's not going to be here when they open it up tomorrow. He's been put on the early pup list as well. So there are some spots where it's interesting to figure out what they want to do. That third corner spot is interesting, too. Is Will Blackman the guy that they want to have on the field in that kind of position? Can he win a starting spot? What is Mike Harris's role on this team if he can even make the roster this year? Because he's been pretty good in his time here in Jacksonville. But the two guys that they drafted in the seventh round, they like. So there's some positions that are up in the air, but it seems like for the most part there's maybe two, three maybe starting positions that are really up for grabs with this team right now, and even on those you have a pretty good indication of who's going to win it.
Chad Henne's record?
4-6.
4-6. I'm going 6-8 for right now. I'm going 6-8.
4-6.
It'll go
December. I still think it's Bortles after the bye.
And it may be. We'll find out. But that doesn't seem to be a starting spot that's in any question. Right now, Chad Henne will begin the season as your starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Tom Bush Family Dealerships brings you the fan feedback spotlight every day, asking what drives you. The family dealerships includes Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. So visit TomBush.com for more information. The next time you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, and follow them on Twitter as well at Tom Bush Motors. Thanks again to Mark Long, abbreviated appearance with us, but he had work to do this morning. We'll probably catch up with he and a number of other reporters tomorrow as we broadcast live from the first day of training camp.
Oh, yeah.
In addition to Mark Long, Zane Beatles, appreciate him stopping by today. Dave Caldwell on with the boys from the drill. And no thanks to Justin Blackman, doing his best to put a damper on the start of training camp. But if you missed it, that's kind of the news of the day, that he was arrested last night in Oklahoma and apparently admitted to an officer that he was smoking the marijuana in the vehicle. They found him with an unnamed, at this point, quantity of it, and he was arrested last night. So his status continues to be in doubt, his future here in Jacksonville. That will do it for us today, the boys of XL Primetime coming up next. So for all the aforementioned, for Joe Fortunato, for Lauren Brooks, one day away from her 24th birthday, and for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. This has been Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.